right now online. Can we welcome all of our brothers and sisters right now who join us online? We love you guys. Awesome seeing you. Have a seat, please. My name is Nathan, one of the pastors here at RCC, and we just want to welcome you. And if you're first time here, please come by and see us. We got a gift for you at the Welcome Center that we want to give to you, and it's a great way to get to know you. But we're super excited because we got lots of different ministries here to highlight, and one of them we're going to highlight today is our parking team. Will you give it up for Nathan as he highlights our parking team right now?
Good morning. Thank you for having us. We would like you to get your phones out and scan the QR code behind us. What we're here for today is we need you. We need more volunteers. Our job is to welcome everyone with a smiling face, to get them through the parking lot safely, and to get you out of the parking lot safely. That is why we're here. We're hoping that we can get you to volunteer and get some more helpers. So if you're interested, please scan the QR code or come see us at the table. Thank you.
All right. Give it up for our parking team. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for directing Nathan off the stage. And, you know, a cool thing is you get cool gear, all right? So you get all souped up and you get to play with lifesavers. So it's a great ministry, and I always tell people when I retire, I'm going to be in the parking team. And it is really the first wave of greeting people when they come up on our campus. And so I just so appreciate it. You see our parking team out there, make sure you say thank you and just be nice to them and obey them, even Joe, all right? And because they're really trying to make sure we get as many people here and fluidly on and off campus as possible. So we're so thankful. If you can help out with that, QR code that. On top of that, we have our First Coast Women's Services, because we're joining First Coast Women's Services, saving lives of babies. And we're doing that through a baby bottle drive. And 2 years ago, we broke our own record, which was 14,000. 2 weeks ago, we had like 6,000 we've raised so far this year. I know we can beat 14,000. Don't you think we can do that? I think we can do that. We can absolutely do that. So make sure you go get a bottle. You got 2 weeks to bring it back in. If you already have yours filled up, bring it in, and we'll go ahead and accumulate those totals. And hopefully by next week, I can give you an update on where we're at. And so we're excited about joining First Coast Women's Services. Last week, we wrapped up a series called Anxious About Nothing. And didn't Ty Caskey do a great job last week bringing the message? Did a phenomenal job. And if you missed that series or that message or any of those messages in that series, you can go back and watch it and listen to it at riverchristian.church/messages. riverchristian.church/messages. Or you can download the app. And the app is a huge resource. If you don't have that, go ahead and put that on your phone. And got great, great tools there for you. But today we're launching into a new series called Greater Than. And I'm going to tell you a story about a gentleman who tried to apply for a custodial position at a local Baptist church. And he's there and he's talking to the pastor, getting interviewed. And all of a sudden the pastor realizes that this man cannot read and cannot write. And so he says, "You have to be able to read and write to have this job. I'm so sorry to tell you that, but can you hold on for a moment?" Pastor leaves his office, brings back a huge like bushel of apples. And he says, "Just take these. I found these in the pantries, and take them. And maybe you could sell some and make a little money off of it." And the man, you know, had no other options. So he took the bushel of apples. He went to a corner. He started eating some. And then he's like, "Okay, I'll sell some." And he started selling them. He sold the whole bushel. And then when he got another bushel, because he had some money, and then he sold all of those. That went after day after day. And next thing you know, he's got a growing, thriving stand. And then 2 decades later, it's built up to a multi-million dollar business. He's got $1 million cash that he wants to take to the local bank. And so he takes to the bank. He's trying to set up a bank account. The teller asks him, "Hey, can you fill out these forms?" And the man says, "I can't read, I can't write." And the teller's just dumbfounded. He said, "You telling me you built a multi-million dollar business and you can't read or write?" And the man said, "Yeah." He said, "Can you imagine where you would be if you were educated?" And the man said, "Yeah, I'd be a janitor at the First Baptist Church." You know, there's things that are not going well for us. And other people say they're not going well for us. But I want you to hear me today, and that is, they don't always work against us, believe it or not. When things don't go our way, it doesn't always work against us. Today, we're going to talk about a God who is greater than our inadequacy. And the good news is that if you've ever felt an ache of inadequacy, I want you to know you're not the only one. And we're going to look at someone today that felt that way, and I know I felt that way in my own life, and his name is Moses. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to the second book of the Bible, which is Exodus, and we are a Bible church. That's what RCC is. When people ask me, who's RCC, I say, we are a Bible church. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we do. We don't go by public opinion polls. We go by what the Bible says, and I would encourage you, always match up what I'm saying with what the Word is saying, and if what I'm saying is not matching up with the Word, go with the Word. Go with the Bible. Don't go with the pastor, okay? Here's what it says, starting off in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, well, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight. Why this bush does not burn up? Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. God called to him from within the bush. Look what he says, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, read it with me. Here I am. Here I am. Do not come any closer. God said, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because they're slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But look what happened here. But Moses said to God, read it with me, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. You have brought the people out of Egypt. You will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said, well, suppose, God, I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Fast forward to verse 10 in the next chapter. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And then the Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth, and who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. And Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord, read it with me. Please send someone else. Please. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You will speak to him and put words in his mouth, and I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to say. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. Raise your hand if you remember the days before caller ID. Raise your hand if you remember those days, all right, before caller. I just want to see who the old people are in the room. All right. Before caller ID, you had no idea, you know, who was on the other end. So you pick up the phone, and it was like a 50-50 thing, right? You're just like, oh, no, the pastor. Oh, no, I wish I'd known. I wouldn't have picked up. But then caller ID came about, and it was like a recluse's best friend and a telemarketer's worst nightmare, right? I wonder how many times with Moses, when he's going through the wilderness with these people who are complaining, and he's at his wit's end, did he wish he could go back to that bush and never have taken that call from God? There are times that God makes a call that you would rather not take, but he won't let your no discourage him from calling again. A lot of us are here thinking that there's no way I can identify with the story with Moses. I can't identify with that kind of call. I want you to know that this story is in the Bible for a reason. Every single one of us has been called by God to do certain things. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared when? In advance for us to do." There are all types of calls from God. One's a call of salvation. Tara Lynn received that call. "I received Jesus as my Lord, my Savior. I believe in him. I want my sins washed away clean forever." Right, that's a call of salvation. But the other call is that God calls us to do things in the name of Jesus, like works and a mission. But when it comes to being used by God in the course of a work or a mission, you and I have our times when we can allow ourselves to be deterred by a sense of inadequacy. Isn't it interesting what Moses does here? Like when Moses goes to the bush, what's he say? "Here I am," right? He's all excited. "Here I am reporting for duty, sir." And then he gets a call. He gets a sense of the call of duty. And then he goes, "Who am I?" Have you ever done that? "I'm all in, God. Let's do this." Uh-oh. Who am I? Everybody can identify with this story on some level. Moses' reluctance to answer, to take his call, was rooted, I think, in many things, but I believe one of them is having a profound sense of inadequacy. His sense of inadequacy, I think, was derived from several things that motivated him, and it manifested itself. I think our first, to be honest with you, I think our sense of inadequacy is very similar to Moses. Our sense of inadequacy revolves around a concern with our own credibility. We don't think we have the street cred to do what God wants us to do. In fact, Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Who am I that I should go back to Pharaoh and bring back the Israelites out of Egypt?" Like, who in the world am I? And then in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1, "What if they don't believe me? What in the world do I say then?" Like many of us, we know we've been called by God to witness to other people, but we don't think we can do it because I don't know enough, right? I don't have all the answers. And until I get all the answers, I'm not doing it. And that's basically what we're saying. We won't take that leap of faith to share our testimony, to share our witness, to share the good news that we've had in Jesus, that he has saved us, because we don't think we know enough. Or maybe Moses, and like many of us, we don't think we're credible because of our past. "God, you can't use me. You have no idea what I've done in my past." Well, I know you do. "Why would you call me to do this? I must be thinking something here. There's no way you would use me because what I've done or what was done to me." Last time that Moses was in Egypt, remember what happened? He killed a man. He has blood on his hands, and he hightailed it out of Egypt. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 2. So Moses may have been preoccupied with, "I don't have enough answers," or "You have no idea what I've done, God. You remember what I've done? There's no way you can use me because of my past." But he was struggling, obviously, with a profound lack of credibility. So God graciously gives him some traveling cred with some signs, with a staff and with a sign of leprosy. We skipped over that. You can read it on your own in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. But one thing for sure, there were ways that God would provide all the credibility that Moses needed. And here's what I want you to hear. Please understand this. God doesn't always call accredited people, but he will always accredit the called. He doesn't always call the best and the brightest, but I'm telling you right now, when you get called by God, he will accredit you. What he was doing with those signs was accrediting Moses for that task. And ultimately, Moses needed to understand that the mission was not about his credibility, but it was about God's credibility. God had made a promise to Abraham and his descendants that he would deliver them into the promised land. And these guys have been in slavery for 400 years. Like, think about that. That's way longer than we've been a country. 400 years have been in slavery, and it was time to deliver on that promise. You see, when God calls, my first concern should not be my reputation. My first concern should be his reputation. Sometimes we're so hung up on the reputation and our credibility that we cease to remember that the credibility we should be concerned about the most is God's. Second thing I think our sense of inadequacy evolves around oftentimes is a concern with our ability, isn't it? I don't think I have what it takes. In fact, Moses said to God, Lord, I've never been eloquent in the past nor right now. I'm slow of tongue. I'm slow of speech. I'm not the right guy for this job. And it's interesting he says that because right before he says that, God tells him these words. Look what God tells Moses. He says to Moses, the elders in Israel, read it with me, will listen to you. They're going to listen to you, Moses. And God, and Moses' response is what? I don't talk very good. I don't think you can use me. What's Moses doing? He's ignoring God. You ever done that? God says this, and you give him a whole bunch of excuses why you can't be used, and it's not you, it's got to be somebody else. And I think that's interesting, because I think about a time when I was in my backyard, and a mentor called me. He said, I want you to be the preaching pastor of our church. You know what I did? I didn't just ignore it. I laughed. I laughed because I don't have what it takes. I don't have the ability to handle that kind of responsibility, right? There's no way I could. You could be using me, God. And so we just start discrediting ourselves because of our ability, and we start saying, I've never been eloquent. Isn't it interesting? Because I can totally relate to Moses. Sometimes I'm more inclined to trust my expectations of what might happen over God's declarations of what he says will happen. I'll say, God, you know, like Moses. Moses feels like he has to inform God on what God can or cannot pull off through him. And I do the same thing to God all the time. There's no, you know, God, let me tell you how this is going to go down. I already know how this is going to happen. I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you, God, to kind of enlighten you. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you right now, when you fill out a job description, God knows that that's the closest to perfection that you'll ever be. Like, God knows the truth behind your resumes. But often when we're confronted with a call from God, we act like we've got to enlighten God as to our inadequacies and we're not competent. But God, let me tell you right now, God knows who he's calling. God doesn't do cold calls. Like, he knows you better than you know you. And so God calls you, he's probably got something he's got cooking up that he wants to do through you. And so Moses in Exodus chapter 4 and 11 and 12 is like, he just says, you know, God says to him, who gave man his mouth? Is it not I? I will tell you what to say. Like, I invented speech. Like, I can do this. I can work through anything. I can even work through a donkey. We see that in the Old Testament. And here's what's so interesting. This is what I love about God. Like, when Moses is pushing back and rejecting the call, God doesn't look at him and go, okay, sweet pea, just believe in yourself. Okay? Like parents do, right? I'm just not a good parent, apparently, because that's not how I flow, right? God doesn't just look at Moses and say, you know, here's a book that you need to read, you know, little Moses, you know, how to win friends and influence pharaohs. Moses, you're good looking, you're kind, and you're smart, and you're intelligent, and you got what it takes. He doesn't do that. God doesn't call Moses to believe more in Moses. God calls Moses to believe more in God. And so I love my kids. I got great kids. I mean, I don't want to trade them for the world. But guess what? They're only great because of God. Their abilities come from guess who? Not them and not their parents. They come from God. Those abilities, those talents, that intellect, that charisma, that athletic ability, whatever it may be, didn't come from them. It came from God. God is saying, you steward this gift. But you don't get glory from it. I get glory because it's actually mine. So I'm not going to call my kids to believe more than themselves. I'm going to call them to believe more in God. That's what God does. And here's another thing. God is teaching Moses that God doesn't call people on a mission and then abandon them. God doesn't do that. God calls someone on a mission, and what he does, he accompanies them. And we see this over and over in Scripture when Jesus tells us to go into all the world and evangelize and win people for Jesus. He says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Look what happens in Mark chapter 16. After Jesus was taken up with them, after Jesus was spoken with them, he was taken up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Look at the next line. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, say it with me, and the Lord worked with them. Say that again. 1, 2, 3. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. God never commissions you on a mission and then abandons you. He's never going to do that. Dr. Bill Cook is a radiologist, and he was doing his residency in Memphis, Tennessee. And he got called, like, out of nowhere, out of the blue, to go into the operating room. So he puts on the scrubs, and he gets all sterilized, and he walks in there, and they kind of hustle him up right next to the lead surgeon. And the lead surgeon looks at him in his residency and says, "We are performing an epidectomy on this man." And then he hands Cook the scalpel. Cook panics, freaks out. He says, "I've never done anything like this in my life." And this doctor was a legendary doctor because he would train other doctors by throwing them in the deep end, letting them learn how to swim on the fly with other people's bodies, might I add. And the surgeon said to this young Bill Cook, he says, "Let me tell you something, son. There's nothing that you can do that I can't fix. Let me tell you right now, you have the great physician who's called you to do things. And he's looking over your shoulders in the midst of every good work that you seek to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that you can do that God cannot fix. Nothing." And that has saved me more than I can imagine. Because you're not alone, and I'm not alone when you get a call. Moses is slow to come around to this. And then we see what's really going on. Which leads to the third thing. Our sense of inadequacy evolves around a reluctance, let's just be honest, to accept responsibility. Moses says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 13, he finally says, he just says, Oh Lord, please send someone else. Can't you relate to that? I mean, the cat's out of the bag. He just doesn't want the responsibility. And I'll be honest with you, the reason why I laughed in my backyard when that call happened, it took years for me to wake up to the call of God, was, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't think I had the ability, but also didn't want the responsibility. I didn't want the responsibility of leading a church. There's a lot of weight to that, right? I mean, and on top of that, like, I didn't want to be a lead pastor. Every lead pastor I know at that time, they always looked like they had drank lemon juice. Like, they looked really serious. Like they had a constant state of hemorrhoids or something. I didn't want to be like that. Like they can't laugh. They can't have fun. I don't want that kind of responsibility. It reminds me of the age-old line that says, everybody wants to serve God just in an advisory capacity. And the creator of the universe finally starts to get angry. He starts to simmer with Moses. And the scripture says this, that the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And maybe God was angry because Moses didn't really believe that he had the ability. I think really that Moses didn't really believe in God. And one more time, God though extends grace to Moses. He's going to work through and with Moses. And he says, Your brother Aaron's coming, and I'm going to use him, and you're both going to teach and tell people, tell the Pharaoh, and tell everyone in Egypt what I'm going to tell you to say. And by the way, that confirms once again that God never commissions someone to go solo. You never commissioned to go by yourself. In fact, we see in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus sends people two by two. People are gone together. They go together when they're on mission. That's why God's will for you is that you're involved in the local church community. You're only going to grow in community. That's why we say over and over here at RCC, Lone Rangers are what? Lone Rangers are dead rangers. They're dead, spiritually toast when you're on your own. And so God says, guess what? Aaron's on his way. And Moses finally gives up, packs up his bags, and heads to Egypt. And as they say, the rest is history. And here's what I want you to grab a hold of. Before Egypt, before those Israelites could be delivered out of their bondage in Egypt, Moses had to be delivered from his bondage of feeling so inadequate. And for so many of you, before your family gets unleashed, before your community gets unleashed, before your ministry gets unleashed, before your friends around you get unleashed, you need to be delivered from your own sense of inadequacy. And I want to close with how to break free of that bondage of inadequacy. So take the notes here. Our God being greater than our inadequacy means a few things. Number one is this. When I feel inhibited, I need to remember that I'm inhabited. Over and over, it says that God is with Moses. And we see in Scripture in John chapter 14 and 16 that Jesus says that you're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not alone. God is inside of you. And he is your helper. He is your comforter. He is your guide. For every time you feel inhibited because of certain inadequacies, you need to remember that you're inhabited by something greater than your inadequacies. I've always been curious why God got Moses' attention with a bush. I mean, there's millions of these thorn bushes out in the desert. And why would he do that? Why would he take this ordinary thorn bush? With the ordinary thorn bush, God lights up that sucker to get Moses' attention. And I think what God did with that bush is what he wanted to do with Moses. What God did with that bush is what he wants to do with you. He wants to take an ordinary man full of inadequacies, an ordinary woman full of inadequacies, and light them up for his glory. So when I'm inhibited, I need to remember that I'm inhabited by the Spirit of God who's in the business of lighting up ordinary bushes and setting them ablaze for his purposes. Second reason how I get out of feeling so inadequate is that remember that his glory can be seen in the midst of my inadequacies. Has it ever occurred to you? Think about this. Has it ever occurred to you that your inadequacy might be the very reason why God calls you to do something in the first place? Has that ever occurred to you? I mean, you're listening to a guy right now that grew up with most of my childhood I could not hear. 70% deaf. And guess what I do for a living? I speak for a living. That's God's sense of humor. Why? Well, look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Look what he says. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is what, church? Is from God and what? Not from us. If your inadequacies that can actually be the stage, think about this, your inadequacies can actually be the stage for the glory of God to be revealed. Isn't that good news? There's a guy who was speaking at a youth conference, did a phenomenal job. I mean, it was just, the Spirit was moving. And kids gave their life to Jesus Christ that night, and people were baptized, even adults were moved. And people were lining up to talk to this man and going, man, tonight was just amazing how the Spirit was moving. Thank you so much for sharing what you shared from God's word. And he's trying to be humble. And one time this kind of good old boy from the Texas oil fields comes up to him and he's got a tear in his eye and big old guy. And he's just like, man, I'll never forget tonight. It was so transformative in my life. And this preacher's trying to be humble. This young man's, you know, there. He's saying, it's not me. It's all God. It's God's word. God's word is what convicted you. It definitely wasn't me. And you know, the old that Texas oil, you know, redneck kind of looks at him and looks down and has a tear in his eye and looks back up and he just says, you know, I think you're right, because I've heard you speak before and you're really not that good. You see, our inadequacy often sets the stage for the glory of God to be on display. And finally, this is huge. What does it mean that God is greater than my inadequacy? Is this, my availability is a bigger issue than my capability. Many people think Christianity is living by a list of no's. And I'll be honest with you, I don't get that. Because when I open God's word, I see it is by living or by a whole bunch of yeses. The craziest adventure you could ever be on is the one that Jesus calls you on. It's a life of adventure. It's a life of wonder. It's a life of challenge that's above and over and above your heads. Growing in Christ is ultimately about you learning and us growing in our availability or our flammability for God to light us up. Now, here's the deal. Moses is in a place called Horeb. God gets his attention to a place called Horeb. Horeb means wasteland. And that's normally where we find ourselves at some point in our life. And that's normally where we seem to be most available to God. Here's Moses. He's out in the desert. He's 80 years old. 80 years old. All right? So he's not, you know, people like, oh, I'm just too old for God to be used. Look at Moses. 80 years old. He's been in the desert for 40 years. You ever notice how many times God gets a hold of people out in the deserts? That's an interesting study, by the way. But out in the desert, because I lived in the desert for a while, and people are watching online right now from Arizona. And when I was out there, I noticed one thing about living in the desert. A lot of people move to the desert to run away from something. Just like Moses. They're trying to get away from people or situation. And not everybody, you know, not everybody in the desert, but a lot of people. And then in the desert is where you're trying to, you kind of feel like God's done with you and nobody's going to know me. I'm going to stay isolated and I'm at my wit's end and I'm at the end of my rope. And that's when we become most available to God. The wood that burns the brightest and the quickest is often the driest. And here is Moses, dried out, worn out. He thinks he's at the end of his life, and yet he's the most available. Ultimately, God being greater than my inadequacies is this. I focus less on what I'm capable of, and I focus more on making myself available to God. To the degree that I'm available to God shapes the degree in how much I'm flammable for God. In fact, I want to encourage you right now, go ahead and get your cell phones out. Everybody get your cell phone out. And I want you to shoot this QR code that's up on the screen right now. Go ahead and do that. Go ahead, and if you got your phones, go ahead. You guys online can do the same thing, or you can go to riverchristian.church/serve. Go ahead and shoot that QR code right now if you have your phone. And it'll take you to a site, and I want you to go ahead and let us know, where are you available to God to be used at? There's lots of options, from kids ministry to missions to right here reaching out to feeding people right here in our community, to mentoring young Christians in core ministry, to parking team, connect team, usher team, all kinds of ministries available to you. Will you just pick one? Just pick one. If everybody did one thing, can you imagine what this church would be like? This church is pretty amazing. But can you imagine how much more flammable we would be for God if we just, every single person, made themselves available to God in one area? One area. Here at RCC, we encourage you to worship 1 hour, serve 1 hour, be in God's Word in life group 1 hour each week. It's that simple. Many people right now are serving and they're worshiping in another hour. And then they're going to go to life group this week somewhere. Will you serve just 1 hour each week? One? Just try something. Just test drive it for a little bit and go, God, I want to be available to you. I love what Psalm 104 verse 4 says. It says that he makes his servants flames of fire. I want to be on fire for God. How about you? Why don't you take the step and just say, you know what? I'm going to get rid of all the excuses. I can come up with excuses for days and days and days. Just get rid of it and just say, you know what? I'm available. I'm available, God, to take this step. I reminded of a professor who was overhearing some graduates of a seminary. One guy was telling another friend of his that were graduating the seminary. He said, this church I'm going to in this town, they've got like all these things they want me to do. And I just don't think I have the ability to do all of that. I'm going to tell them when they ask me to do certain tasks, I'm just going to tell them I just can't do it. And his friend overheard him and kind of nodded his head. And he said, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I think the world's a better place because Michelangelo didn't say, I don't do ceilings. I thought to myself, I think the world's a better place because Moses eventually said, he didn't say, I don't do mass migrations. I think the world's a better place because Noah did not say, I don't do arks. I think the world's a better place because Rahab didn't say, I don't talk to enemy spies. I think the world's a better place because Ruth did not say, I don't hang out and connect with mother-in-laws. I think the world's a better place because John the Baptist did not say, I don't do deserts. I think the world's a better place because Paul did not say, I don't minister to Gentiles. I think the world's a better place because Mary did not say, I don't do virgin births. I think the world's definitely a better place because Jesus did not say, I don't do crosses. So what is it that you've been inclined to say that I don't do right now out of your sense of inadequacy? Go ahead and take that step, that leap of faith, and I promise you God will bless you. He will do what you did not think you'd be able to be done through you if you would just make yourself available. What if you change your perspective along with mine and you say, you know what, God? For a while, I'm going to focus on you, the God who's greater than my inadequacies, because there's a whole world out there that needs to be made better. Knowing this God that is greater than my inadequacy can make all the difference in the world of my availability and even my flammability. And I tell you what, when God's in a bush, any old bush will do, including you, including me. When God's in the bush, any bush will do, because he can light us up. And for every single one of us, I'm telling you right now, if you got breath in your lungs, online, in the room, I'm telling you right now, there's a call waiting for you from God. There's a call. It's time to burn and say yes to God. God, I'm available right now, more than ever, even in the midst of my inadequacies. Will you stand with me? Please stand. Let me pray over you. Father God, give us a heart, give us a spirit to allow what's been said to be sown in our souls. To say, God, right now that I'm available to you. I'm not focused on my ability. Lord, I'm more focused on your ability and what you can do through broken vessels like me. Lord, water this conviction. Some of us are in Horeb. Some of us right now are in a wasteland. We're our wits end. Lord, we tried everything, and Lord, now the only thing we have left is to turn to you and say, God, I'm available. Just like Moses, we tried it on our own. We've even ran away. We fought. Nothing's working. God, right now, we just submit. We surrender to you and say, may your will be done. God, may you get all the glory, and may you get all the praise as we take this big step of faith to say to you today, right here, right now, I'm available, even in the midst of my inadequacies. Thank you so much, God, for using us, and may you fulfill your purposes through us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Hey, I want to encourage you right now. Our prayer team is up here. Maybe you have a prayer. I just don't feel inadequate. I feel so inadequate. I hear the call. Maybe that's what you want to pray about. Maybe something else is going on. Maybe there's a joy that you want to share. Maybe you want to give your life to Jesus Christ like so many have done. Why don't you come right now? But can we just go ahead and give God the praise? God, who is greater than our inadequacies, let's worship him right now. Please come as we worship him.